Impressionism is a style of painting that depicts countless, feather-light brushstrokes on a canvas. Up close, the picture seems scattered, confusing, and chaotic. But when you step away, the image comes together. You can see the whole intention. Throughout trial, the attorneys offer pieces of evidence, shreds of meaningful information, but the only opportunities they have to show the jury their entire theory, in its totality, is in their opening and closing arguments. It can sometimes feel limiting to an attorney not to have more opportunity to directly connect the dots.
The professional relationship between Ava Michaels and Robert Stowe was twisted. There were no boundaries. He encouraged her to think of him as her father. He prescribed ill-advised medicinal enemas for her. He planted a spy in her home. This relationship was controlling and it was dangerous. So from its beginning, this relationship wasn't right. But as wrong as it was, in June of 2017, it got even worse. Ava had recently lost her job. She'd been fired from her studio's latest project, a comedy titled Leave It With Me, and her termination was uncomfortably public. I'll add that she got fired due to an inability to show up on time, thanks in large part to the barbiturate use availed by Dr. Stowe. Regardless, she was fired. She was publicly embarrassed. Dr. Stowe went to the studio and attempted to get her job back, insisting he could make her do anything reasonable he wanted. As inappropriate as this action was on behalf of a psychiatrist, it was Ava's last chance to save face. He failed her. The studio did not trust Dr. Stowe. They did not rehire Ava, and this is when things began to go south for the duo. Realizing his client was careening, likely to be running out of money and losing the clout of her unblemished celebrity, Dr. Stowe began to pull away. Ava was his cash cow, after all. He touted himself as a celebrity to the stars, based largely on his singular client, Ava Michaels. If she was no longer a star, if she was fired due to personal problems, she was no longer an asset. She had become a professional liability, and that became damned evident to Ava Michaels when he started to withdraw from her life.
The state introduced a voicemail from deceased Ruth Ivanov's cell phone. It was left by Ava Michaels 16 days before her death. Phone records indicate Ava left this voicemail for her housekeeper after making repeated attempts to phone Dr. Stowe.
Why won't he answer my calls? Why? I need him. Everyone uses me.
When she needed him most, in summer of 2017, Dr. Stowe was not there for Ava. She felt used. She felt abandoned. And then she felt angry. Ava Michaels had a plethora of incriminating evidence against Dr. Stowe, thanks to his inability to conduct himself professionally with her. And come summertime, when he failed to help her, she not only felt spurned, she felt motivated to retaliate. Ava devised a plan to report Dr. Stowe's malpractice, and we have reason to believe she communicated this threat to him because on July 23rd, Dr. Stowe visited an attorney in Miami who specializes in psychiatric malpractice cases.
The state offered evidence from Dr. Stowe's online calendar to corroborate his visit with the attorney. The attorney was not called at trial, and anything they potentially discussed would be protected by attorney-client privilege.
For Dr. Stowe, Ava had gone from representing his biggest cash cow to his greatest nightmare. She threatened everything, everything he had. If Ava Michaels forged a complaint, Dr. Stowe would lose his license. He would lose his career and ability to support his family. Worse than the license was the exposure. If Ava announced to the world the odd nature of their relationship, the unusual drug protocol, the father-daughter dynamic, God knows what else, Dr. Stowe's life was over. His reputation, his legacy, possibly his freedom if the reports warranted criminal prosecution. All of it. everything Dr. Stowe had, gone. As much control as Dr. Stowe wielded over Ava, he now realized she wielded more over him.
Dr. Stowe left the following voicemail on Ava Michaels' phone 8 days before her death.
God damn it, Ava. You've got to stop these games. You are stopping. Do you hear me? My cell is blowing up. My home phone is blowing up. My wife is pissed. I don't give a shit what you say to whom. Okay, these intimidations are over. I'm coming over. And when I get there, and from this moment forward, we are mature adults. No harassment, no threats. Hear this.
This voicemail was one of the most damaging pieces of evidence entered against Dr. Stowe. It was played countless times over the media airwaves, but at trial, the defense adamantly downplayed the voicemail's significance.
What did Dr. Stowe really say? Stop harassing me. Stop threatening me. Leave me alone. And for this, we villainize him? This we're calling a motive? Ava routinely called him over and over again. Ava threatened to come over uninvited. Ava threatened every childish action she could think of to get Dr. Stone's attention. Dr. Stowe was being harassed by a patient who was out of control. He had to be firm with her. What you hear on this voicemail was Dr. Stowe, well, he was setting up a boundary. What would you have done? Ladies and gentlemen, what would you have done? In what sugar tones would you have asked her to please stop harassing you and your family?
Ava Michaels was a heavy drinker. Her drink of choice was champagne, specifically Dom Perignon. It wasn't unusual for Ava to be seen and photographed with the glass in her hand. On several occasions throughout her career, she'd been snapped in a state of clear intoxication. Not that she ever lost her poise or let slip a garment of clothing. Ever the lady, Ava spent most of her nights drinking in the concealment of private homes. However, 5 days before her death, Ava went to dinner alone at a local Italian eatery. She ran into several people she knew there. But having begun the night drinking during a lifestyle photo shoot, by the time she reached the restaurant, she was ill-equipped to metabolize the house's signature champenois. After leaving around 1 a.m., she was stopped on the sidewalk by TMZ, who recorded her response to their questions about her upcoming plans.
I'm going to hold a press conference, and then everyone will know what has happened to me and what I've had to deal with.
This alleged press conference stoked media speculation following Ava's death. However, no press conference was actually scheduled. Whatever Ava was alleging on this TMZ recording was not clarified by the star before she passed away. However, the threat of a press conference alone was all the state needed to argue Dr. Stowe was growing increasingly desperate to have her silenced. With the motive secured, what's left for the prosecutor to prove except means and opportunity?
An uncontested fact is that Dr. Stowe regularly prescribed Ava medicinal enemas, despite this being uncommon practice for a psychiatric professional. He would procure the liquid enema solutions and give them to Ruth Ivanoff, Ava Michaels' housekeeper and former psychiatric nurse, who would administer them to Ava personally.
The state supplied a note scratched on a torn piece of paper. It was written from Dr. Stowe to Ruth Ivanoff, found in the desk in Ava Michaels' guest room. It read, "Hi, Ruth. Stopped by and you were out. Please come by my office to pick up A's enema solutions. If I'm away, show your ID to the desk. You're collecting 3 bags. Should get her to June. Thanks. R. Stowe."
You have heard medical testimony that shows there were no partially or undigested pills found in Ava Michaels' stomach. You have heard there were no crystalline molecules left by barbiturates in Ava Michaels' stomach lining. There is no evidence to prove Ava took any barbiturates the night she died. The defense will say, it's possible no traces were left in this way. It's possible no traces were left in that way. It's possible. It's possible. It's possible. Sure. But is it reasonable? Dr. Stowe was faced with a raging patient hell-bent on exposing him and his fraudulent practices to the world. He could not contain her. She was fired. She was broke. Her reputation was ruined. She was of no more use to him. And now, she was putting him and his practice in jeopardy. Dr. Stowe had a method for administering medication to Ava rectally, and she dies of acute barbiturate poisoning with no traces of oral ingestion. Don't think about this case in pieces. Think about the entire picture.
Motive, means, opportunity. The state maintains Dr. Stowe had them all. Motive. He was inappropriate with his patient, a patient who turned out to be more erratic than he could control. Embittered following rejection, she threatened to expose his malpractice. And he needed to silence her. Means. He regularly prescribed her medicinal enemas. They came from his office. He had access to the meds on which he overdosed and access to her enemas. Opportunity. He gave her medical instruction the night she died. Whether she took an enema by her own hand or Ruth Ivanov's, both were controlled by Dr. Stowe. This is the state's contention.
I never realized how great a gift a subscription box makes until I started receiving FabFitFun boxes, which were essentially gifted to me from FabFitFun so I could really explore and experience the process of receiving these boxes and speak to them authentically. If you have a daughter going to college or a friend who's a new mom, this is an amazing gift because it arrives 4 times a year and it's filled with umpteen gifts that are all beautifully curated, full size, and luxurious. I just received the fall box, and I had the craziest time opening it. It had so many items that I literally needed. I pulled out a blue and capri shower gel, and I was like, oh, I need shower gel. And then I pulled out eye cream, and I thought, oh, great, I've been meaning to buy eye cream. And then I pulled out a Bluetooth, yes, and I had been needing to get one for months. I just hadn't splurged. And another thing was this stylish but very simple Vince Camuto Luxe tote in Red Desert, which for me, I mean, I'm using it as a computer bag, and I love it because I've been needing to replace my old frayed one for a long time, and this one is comfortable and cool-looking, and I don't know. It really felt like the box was made just for me. And mine was a surprise. You can customize the box yourself or allow it to be a surprise, but even as a surprise, I was delighted. I was tickled by how luxurious and helpful everything inside was. I had the greatest time opening this box. There were more items inside, and everything FabFitFun sends you is full-sized. No samples or testers or anything like that. It's a great value because many items' individual value is more than the cost of the entire box. The total value of the fall box is over $275, up to $400 depending on your selection, but the entire box costs only $49.99, unless you are a Deliberations listener and use the Deliberations discount to make it even cheaper. Sign up for FabFitFun today to get your fall box. The FabFitFun fall box is in limited supply, and these boxes always sell out. Use my code DELIBERATIONS to get $10 off your first box. Go to FabFitFun.com to sign up and start getting the box for a life well lived. Use promo code DELIBERATIONS to get $10 off your first box. That's over $200 for only $39.99. Go to FabFitFun.com and use my code DELIBERATIONS to get $10 off your first FabFitFun box.
All
All right. Good morning, everyone. I hope we all slept well.
Morning.
So I've got some jury instructions here I have to read out before we continue with today's deliberations. All right. Here it goes. Motive is not an element of the crime charged and need not be shown. However, you may consider motive or lack of motive as a circumstance in this case. Presence of motive may tend to establish guilt. Absence of motive may tend to establish innocence. You will therefore give its presence or absence, as the case may be, the weight to which you find it to be entitled.
Thank you, Webster's Dictionary.
You're welcome. Okay, so our job is to figure out if there's presence of motive or not.
Definitely motive.
Or lack thereof.
No. He has a ton of motive.
Yeah, I agree with Harriet and Adelaide.
How do you not see any of these as motives?
I'm not saying that there isn't motive. I'm just saying let me finish. You have to take into account of her previous occurrences. So when she was first married, right, her first marriage, the motive for her wanting to commit suicide or her need for attention, right? Nobody is castrating him.
Motives on both sides.
Or the other husband, correct. And we already heard that Ava says, I'm going to get you, for lack of better term. So who's to say her getting him isn't another cry for help and trying to commit suicide?
Yeah.
Wanting to be saved.
Oh, yeah, but I want to get you. If somebody said that to me, I would consider that sort of a threat.
Well, he said, stop threatening me. That's what he said.
Most people that are threatening to kill themselves don't like go, ooh, I'm going to get you. Like, usually they stay around to like plan to kill people. They don't kill themselves first.
Well,
Thanks for proving that.
Most people aren't Ava. And as her history shown, her trying to reach for attention or say, I'm going to get you, is committing suicide or cries for help. That's how she attacks someone else.
She was angry now.
She was hurting. If we think about that voicemail, I mean, she was crying and she was saying, you know, everybody uses me. She's not threatening Dr. Stowe Bill. She's just asking for him to pay attention to her as he has always done.
Attention. Very, very, very true.
That's not
so
a threat.
Desperate in that voicemail. And although she is hurting, she's acting crazy.
She's acting like anyone else that's drunk dialing some friends at a party.
I don't know anybody that acts like that. Hang out with friends like that, but don't know people that do that who aren't desperate and crazy or in a manic phase.
Her turns into
anger. That's what it turns into. And I think she just got angry at the way that he was treating her.
I think if anyone is feeling used or threatened by others, to say, I'm going to get you as retribution, to say, hey, I'm going to get you from hurting me and I'm going to make you stop, I think that's fair game. It's not a threat. It's, hey, you can't continue to use and abuse me this way, and I'm going to prove that you're wrong, and I'm going to let everyone know that you're doing this wrong to me. She even went on TMZ and said, hey, when you guys find out what has been going on to me, you're going to get it. Yeah. You know what? But she said on national television, hey, I am being used and I need help. Wow. And you're saying condemn her because she's saying I need help.
People say what they really mean when they're drunk.
I absolutely agree with that. You know, I have experience. I'm not saying that. What I am saying, she's crying out for attention. And her saying, I'm going to get you from her previous occurrences doesn't mean, oh, I'm going to tell the world what you've been doing to me. She didn't tell the world what Mark Galagos was doing when he was abusing her, mm-hmm. allegedly. She did attempt to cry out or suicide.
She backed
the
it
same
up,
instance.
You know, by going to, it's evidence. Didn't he, Dr. Stowe, go to his malpractice attorney? You know, most doctors and most people don't like to talk about malpractice and see their attorneys. This guy took time out of his day and met with him. So that means that something was seriously going on, that there was some kind of threat that he had to say, whoa, I better get my ducks in a row because you know what? Maybe there's some allegations coming up. So that also proves that, yes, she was ready, willing, and able to prove that she was being used. And most people that are attempting suicide usually don't consult lawyers.
But I think in terms of establishing motive, the person under trial, of course, is Dr. Stowe. So it's not that Ava has a motive to commit suicide or not. What we're trying to figure out is whether or not Dr. Stowe had motive, if it was present or not, in order to exact harm against Ava. So in terms of proving presence of motive, I think that this entire conversation is that there is motive. So even if we take Bill's, rendition of events, Ava calls, she's upset, hurt, then it becomes angry. She's angry. We can read many emotions into that phone call. Then if that is makes someone nervous to receive all those calls, and if we have proof that he went to a malpractice lawyer, I mean, that is establishing a potential motive to silence or keep quiet a particular problem. So that is there. And then we have, I mean, that's there. Like, that's something. He made a move based on what she gave him. So that looks like motive to me.
As well as that voicemail, mm-hmm. too, that he left. I mean, he said that he wanted her to stop harassing, him and everything like that. But then at the very end, it's almost like he switched and was like, I'll be over soon.
Yeah.
And it's like, why would you keep helping someone? Why wouldn't you just give them a referral to someone else they're harassing you? Like, he's the doctor. He should know to stop it at that point.
Exactly.
Call the police.
He's
exactly.
He's a professional. He's saying stop. He's talking to her unprofessionally. He's saying stop. But hold up. I'm coming right over.
And I got one more.
Wow, that's crazy to me. Each
other, I was just getting
I know,
to that.
That's what's but Mikey has another point.
But as well, as far as crossing the line as well, he's not her manager, her publicist, or her agent. What is he doing talking to studios and trying to get her back in there? That's another thing of crossing the line.
That's right. The one job he's supposed to do is be the doctor, and he failed to do that.
Exactly.
He's doing all the other jobs, but not contacting the
authorities. Okay, so I just think those are the type of things, when you are a doctor to the stars that it goes with, you do have to sometimes talk to studios.
I don't think that's built into the medical degree.
Oh,
it's
no,
not,
he
but
crossed
it goes
the line
with,
so badly.
Oh, she crossed the line first with those.
But power
those
okay, they both
the
crossed the line.
So
we're Dr. Stowe's on
she
trial
was the
right
patient.
Now.
She
well, okay, the patient. He crossed the line. Mm. And yes, he spoke to his malpractice lawyer because he knew he was in hot water.
Ooh.
He doesn't say, oh, I'm going to have to get rid of her for this motive.
We don't know that.
Somewhat I will agree with, but don't let him going to his malpractice attorney lead you to that. Let's understand that these two were in love, right?
Well, we don't know that.
Okay, so
we don't know that. What we do know is Dr. Stowe.
When everybody speaks to crossing lines, right, this is what you're referring to. So let's not play in the gray area. If they had feelings for one another, this would definitely play on how they treated one another.
You know
so
what? I don't believe that's true because if he had feelings for her, he wouldn't tell other people, especially people that employ her, who give him money in return,
to hire
that
her back.
I can pay her, play her like a puppet. But I can control and make her do whatever.
Not his exact words.
No, he said I can make her
puppet.
Do anything.
That's what he did say.
To
I can make
her
to an extent. He's playing her. He pimped her out, and now that she
it's
doesn't.
Not,
have, oh, come on.
Okay, wait.
It's not
a
strong word. He's a doctor. I mean, Rose, can't you agree?
He hasn't done any doctoring.
Could I just say?
He's being
Rose,
a publicist, like you said, Krasinski.
Okay.
Let me just say one thing, Harriet, and we'll get you back on the train.
Sure.
Rose, can't you agree that through that voicemail that maybe, Dr. Stowe was pushed into saying things he didn't want to say or into doing things he didn't want to do after feeling harassed, and under that stress?
I think if we're all going
position?
To, if we all feel that there's a romantic relationship here, which I think every single one of us says, but then we also have on record that part of his treatment as the doctor is that he's a father and she's a daughter, then we can already see that there's something very, those are two things. One thing we believe is happening is a romantic relationship, which we don't have full proof. We have a little bit of like touching at a restaurant that was given as evidence.
Yeah.
And then we have the fact that as a published mode of new psychiatric modes of working with the patient, that they're a father-daughter relationship that he's proposing. So we can, that's very weird and
it
inappropriate.
It is, but the fact
it's
that
uncommon.
They're, but the
it's
fact
uncommon.
That they're affection doesn't mean they're in a romantic relationship.
Yes, and maybe it's unprofessional.
Hold on one second.
But well, it doesn't mean,
it doesn't prove.
I just want to say that Ava was a borderline. And borderlines, one of the things that they do is they flirt with everyone. If this doctor had any ability,
professionalism,
yes,
all of that, yes,
he would have known to not touch her.
Ooh,
I agree with that. I agree 100%. So he's being distasteful. He's being dishonest. Right. This isn't professional. What Dr. Stowe is doing.
Okay.
But these are not facts saying that he had her killed.
We never said that. We're just looking for motive as of right now.
But we're all sitting here still because we can't all agree that he is not guilty.
But you just agreed that he has motive.
We're just trying to... Let me just read it one more... The one sentence, not the full paragraph. But,
here we go. Webster.
Presence of... All right, Mike. Okay.
Sorry,
it's okay. It's okay. Presence of motive may tend to establish guilt. We're just trying to see if there's a presence of...
One more time.
Presence of motive may tend to establish guilt. Absence of motive may tend to establish innocence. So our job here is to make, well, maybe we can write it down, make a list of what are things that can tend to establish guilt and what things can tend to not establish guilt. So if we have, if we can already have a list that I think, Bill, you're on board with three things, you know.
Psychiatric hospital.
So he's been inappropriate in ways that don't make sense to the method that he was proposing that in his published
results. Well, not that it doesn't make sense to his method, just unprofessional as it goes to common guidelines.
But fathers don't a normal healthy relationship with a father and a daughter is not that they are canoodling and touching at
what
restaurants.
What about a lover? Because he had to feel that
we
boy
know this
too.
Isn't
he said
a normal
he was going
and healthy
for a father
relationship.
Figure.
Father is his published father figure is his published mode, and
his
if he's
work.
Doing something else, then I mean that in any other that would be incest if it was an actual relationship, right? A father's
so
doing that with
very,
a daughter.
That's very literal.
Well, I'm just saying that's the he's trying to fulfill being a father, and he's doing some, so. I'm just saying we have something there.
Okay,
so
okay.
If a woman in that situation says, I'm going to, and she's going to, you know, expose him for being something different and inappropriate to the role that he is promoting in his work. And then he goes to a malpractice lawyer. These are all very suspicious. For me, it seems like they're establishing motive.
And I'm guessing. His name, though,
absolutely.
Right? She never uses his name, though, right?
In what way?
During like the TMZ press conference thing that she said, she never, she just said, what was it that she's going to be making a press conference and like everyone will know something like that?
Of how she's been treated.
Yeah, how she's been treated,
like
but
that.
She never uses any names,
correct.
So I don't think we can really.
Did we establish she was drunk
second.
In that press conference?
It doesn't matter.
It does matter when you're inebriated, Harry.
Okay,
when
yeah,
you're
no,
drunk, you say
right.
things that you know necessarily aren't true, or you make up lies. It does matter.
It doesn't
no,
matter
no.
because
when
you said
no,
when
you're drunk,
presence,
when you're drunk, you say what you really feel.
That's right.
That's what you really
well,
feel.
Well, we can't.
But let me go to the whole thing of the malpractice lawyer. My guess is that malpractice lawyer said, "Oh, you are so in hot water because there is no way that you're going to get out of this. Because look at the things that you have done. She is going to win." If she sues you for malpractice, she's going to win.
But Dr. Stowe on the voicemail said, go ahead and do whatever you're going to do. I just want you to stop harassing me.
Yeah, so and stop harassing me. I'm coming right over.
Isn't that weird that he would use such like pointed language in
then,
a way?
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? It sounded very
thought out. Yeah.
Methodical.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think he just wanted to be heard. That's why he said,
because that's
me.
What I say to my stalker. Stop it. I'm coming right over to make sure you stop it.
You did not have a stalker.
Establish
it.
Aside from the him going to see the psychiatric malpractice attorney, can we even use that as evidence? Because we don't know what actually, we don't have the notes of what happened because he never took it to a case.
That's true. We know
well,
that he
would
went.
So we know he went there.
That's been
so it'd be absent
admissible.
Of as yeah. So like,
yes.
Is
Thank
that
you,
even?
Mikey.
Well, I'm just.
She never had the chance to take it to a case. It was she
I
was
think
the
she
one.
Had the chance.
She was the one who was going to be taking it to a case. She never had that opportunity because she died rather.
I mean, well, she never said she was going to bring it to a case. She said she was going to make a press conference.
No, there was a plan to contact the medical board, and in a separate time, she said to TMZ, I'm going to let everyone know.
Okay.
It wasn't until 5 days later. I mean, you got
five days. So the timeline for these types of things, so Ava has her voicemail. Did anybody write that down? I forgot the exact date.
Voicemail, summer 2017.
It was, June 2017. There's at some point there's a phone call, and
I'm
then 8 days before she's found dead, there's a voicemail from Dr. Stowe to her saying, stop harassing me.
Right.
And then he goes over there. And then 5 days, so 3 days after that, or you know, another way to look at it, 5 days before she's found dead, she has that announcement to TMZ.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Let's attack that. Stop harassing me. I'm coming over. That doesn't make any sense.
No, he was trying to reestablish their relationship as in a professional sense. He
over
even
a
said that.
Though.
That's
or,
ridiculous.
Or even if it was an unprofessional establishment, like Ava,
you?
You're tripping.
I do.
Please stop it. I'm going to come over. We're going to talk about it.
He's a doctor, and he chose the word
they are
harassing
in love.
Me.
We've already established
they're not
some
in love.
Kind of, okay.
I have a question for the men in the room.
Yeah.
Okay, if you have a woman who is causing you some problems and maybe making you feel like she's a little bit, I mean, not
Shannon.
Just a little bit, like, okay, you've gotten experiences with your wife. Okay, ex-wife. Are you going to go to the source of the problem? I just want to know if, like, a woman is calling you and causing you all these issues, are you going to walk, drive, run over to, like, get into it with them.
I think Bill's got this one.
It depends on the history with
Would
the woman.
Would you go to right. Shannon if she's having all the if she's calling you and all this leaving all these?
If it was about your kid,
Shannon's doctor.
What I'm if just
it?
Asking.
What if it was about your girl and like Shannon called and was like, "I'm getting full custody now."
Wait, I Let's thought go you with were that. On our side.
I am. I'm just trying to get. I'm on no one's side.
It's not about size. It's about the facts. And he definitely has a motive.
Okay, well, they're asking me the question. Yeah. Somebody that has experience, not your perfect marriage, Harriet. Me, I would run over there if it had anything to do with my daughter.
Okay,
like you were saying, Mikey.
It's not your daughter.
But it's not your daughter.
But he's supposed to be a father figure to Ava.
Depending.
So he's supposed to be both father and lover.
Exactly.
And so he shouldn't attend
That's
as a
what
lover,
I'm getting
but he
at.
Should attend as a father. Oh, it's so
That's
nasty.
Too, it's
Do we know for sure that they're lovers? Or aren't we getting a bit...
Well,
I think
no,
we're
not sure.
I think
all the speculation that we're throwing around, I'm pretty sure that we can say that they were intimate. Can everybody agree on that?
Well, that's still
intimate
speculation, right?
I mean, you know what? To be honest, I don't think they were intimate. I think he has been using her and pimping her out the whole time. And the fact that he put Ruth in the house to have her, a maid, insert something into her rectum every day.
She could have inserted
That's just the all kinds of freakiness. I don't care what kind of where you got your medical degree. That's like freak university.
Wait, what did you say?
The maid
I said freak university.
That's not what she did.
With nurse activities. The maid had experience, previous experience doing nurse type duties.
Oh, do you clean windows? And I give anal butt probes. Yeah.
It just, she's you know what? Full service
Harriet.
Maid.
Somebody get Harriet her tea or coffee or whatever she needs. She's over the line. Over the borderline
right now,
right?
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Can we just be... I'm sorry. That was a freak university kind of threw me off, Harriet. It's nice to laugh, but it's a serious business. Okay.
Yeah, so, that's what I'm saying. That's and exactly I know what I'm saying, because Krasinski said it himself. This doctor went out of his way to manage her personal life, her studio, even the studios who are prone to dealing with all kinds of people trying to be stars. Even the studio didn't like him, didn't trust him.
He wore a lot of hats.
He is doing all of these things.
Correct.
But he wouldn't even be her doctor.
But
how
that's
he...
all malpractice worthy, right? So we're just
exactly.
trying to establish
So therefore,
motive.
There's motive. Boom.
I don't think there is motive. That's just
I
where I stand.
I want to hear from the two people who think that there is no motive at all here. So can you tell me what Krasinski, please enlighten me. I really want to understand where you're coming from.
Everyone wears socks. Everyone needs socks. Everyone buys socks. So why not buy the socks that are not only the most comfortable in the history of feet, but the ones making a difference in the world by donating to worthy causes? For every pair of Bombas socks purchased, one pair is donated. It's true that socks are the number one most requested items in homeless shelters, but these shelters don't receive them that easily because you can't donate used socks. And so a company like Bombas, with your help, has to date donated over 9 million pairs to those in need. I think it's phenomenal. And you, the customer, are winning too because the socks you're buying have been re-engineered with comfort innovations that took over 2 years in research and development to construct. We're talking arch support, cushioning, staying up technology, quality cotton so your feet stay cool. I used to never be able to sleep in socks because my feet would get too hot. It was a thing. But now I fall asleep wearing these Bombas socks all the time. They've got socks for everything. Fitness, work, little ballet flats, the whole range of styles you might need socks for. And I keep harping on it, but I love this model. I love that they're donating. I love feeling like I'm doing something good when I buy this product that I would need to buy anyway. Why not get the best sock and support a worthy cause? My friends, my lovable listeners, you get 20% off your first order by going to bombas.com. That's bombas.com/deliberations, and you'll get 20% off your first order with code deliberations. That's bombas.com/deliberations with code deliberations. I wish your feet all the happiness in the world.
Krasinski, please enlighten me. I really want to understand where you're coming from.
Yes.
Like, I just think from her own words, listening to how frantic she was in that voicemail, she's screaming, she's obviously inebriated, you know? If she wants to do it professional and put out a press conference where she's sober, and that can add some validity to that, but by her actions mm-hmm. and just going overboard, I think it speaks to where her head was at. Does he need to respond in such a way? No, we've established that is an unprofessional type relationship, but it mm-hmm. does not mean motive that he wanted to kill her. I think more than anything, he wants to care for her. Does he know how? Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe it was a little too much for him, but that does not mean you have to go to jail for that.
You don't think he was trying to make her be quiet?
I don't, in my opinion.
Even though that voicemail to him.
Okay, maybe be quiet, and then, but what did he say at the end? I'll be right over, because he still wants to help.
He cares for Ava so much.
There is
a disconnection between professionalism and caring for someone that I do agree with, but you're not going to try to harm somebody that you care for so deeply. If there's speculation of intimacy, I'm introducing you to my family. My family loves you. I love you. I'm not going to harm you in any way, but I have to go see my malpractice lawyer because you're threatening to do things that could hurt me, my practice. But I love you. I would never harm you.
Do you think that he loved his practice more than he loved Ava?
Your doctor loves you?
Reputation?
That's kind of unprofessional too.
Well, we already heard the case on transference and countertransference. Go ahead, Adelaide.
I definitely think that he cared about his practice more than he cared about Ava.
Mm-hmm.
Because if Ava sued him, mm-hmm. his practice was over.
She was his chief client.
I think.
And she was his only client.
Yeah.
You know, he
only
would never,
client.
ever have any clients
only.
Again.
Well, that's not for us to say. We don't know. Ava was a star. So he could have had other clients that just wouldn't have been as in the spotlight.
No. He would have lost his license.
He would have lost his license if she won the malpractice suit.
Which she didn't go through with. She had 5 days.
She's dead.
She didn't have a chance to.
No, I mean, she said, okay, I'm going to tell you guys what happened on the 17th. And it wasn't until days later when the incident occurred. Any of those days, she could have went ahead with what she said when she was drunk.
It was
maybe
only
she didn't
5
mean it.
Days. She,
yeah, sometimes threats are just threats.
I mean, I'm sorry. Planning a press conference is so hard. 5 days is not enough time, right?
You're Ava Michaels. I'm pretty sure a press conference isn't that hard.
Oh, gosh. And do you get paperwork done in 5 days?
Yeah, I'm fired. I mean, I don't understand. I mean, it's not going to take me that long. What I'm saying is, Adelaide,
for somebody who is on barbiturates and drinking, it's going
to
be really
hard. That's her
hard
choice to be drinking.
And her doctor put her on barbiturates.
But it's still
I didn't say anything
really
about the barbiturates.
Hard.
Let's think about when Ava was checked into the facility.
Those don't count then.
And had to have Mark Gallagher.
It's the alcohol that counts, not the barbiturates.
Because she couldn't leave under her own free will.
Do you think it's possible that Dr. Stowe left a voicemail? Rather than talking to her in person because he wanted it mm-hmm. on record?
That's what I feel. That's what
perhaps,
makes me a little suspicious.
But he did come over
no,
after
I agree.
He left the voicemail.
I'm not denying that, but it almost sounds like he's coming out trying to be the victim, and it seems like we're not spending enough time on her trying to reach out and be the victim. It seems like we're trying to flip that.
Well, I don't want not to flip that because I'm not saying anything ill about Ava, rest her soul, but let's think about it. Maybe Dr. Stowe is being attacked a little bit, and I'm just saying that because of Ava's history. She reaches out for attention when she's upset, like Rose said, or even if it turns to anger, as evident from the voicemail. Dr. Stowe cares for her. He's trying to protect his practice. I don't think he would ever hurt Ava, but I do think Ava would reach out for attention in ways of crying,
but
as you would put it, that's supposition.
Okay.
I see what you're saying with the
as you would say it, that's supposition.
Yes, that's very true, but I think it's all. I'm thinking about creating motive or lack thereof from the absence of evidence.
I think much more reason for.
But why do we take
motive?
So much? Like we were reading into Ava's voice quality and her tone and all these things, but then when we look at Dr. Stowe,
exactly.
we
you
question
throw that out.
The tone and all of that. So I just would like us to both. If we're going
if we're
to read
one,
anger,
we should, do it on both.
We should read anger. Well, in both.
Action does cause reaction. So I mean. You know, it's
but not when you're a psychiatrist
sounded,
and you're
it almost sounded fake.
Yeah.
Like the beginning, it sounded like he was like playing the victim, and then all of a sudden there was that. Like, did you hear that flip? That was like, I'll be right over.
I think maybe he caught himself in that moment, realizing he was being a little unprofessional in that voicemail, and he realized he still has to keep it together.
I just don't get why he wouldn't call the police.
So I called Shannon not too long ago. It was my daughter's birthday, and she didn't even pick up the phone. She sent me straight to voicemail.
Yeah.
I started that message very frustrated.
Were you sober?
Correct?
I'm
sober because I was here.
I don't know. I didn't hear you making a voicemail.
Well, and you guys had left for break, and I did this, because I wanted to call my daughter. I didn't want you guys to be around. Yeah. But I started that voicemail on a different tone than when I finished.
That's true.
I love my daughter, and I did at one point love Shannon. It's easy to change your voice tone or even how you feel in a matter of seconds or minutes,
It just sounded instant. Like, that's all I'm getting.
When you realize that you're doing it out of love, like I'm calling for my daughter, not for Shannon, then yes, I'm going to change my tone.
Why can't you use the same criteria for her voicemail? Why does it work for one and not the other?
Because that's my daughter. And
but you're saying clear with Stowe and Ava. You're using one and saying, yes, let's make his all nice and pretty, but hers, oh my, she's crazy and distraught and hanging on. You have to use both criteria.
It's not that. When he first called, he was, okay, if you want to play the victim card, then get angry. It's professional and then it's personal. Like we said, they had an intimate relationship. So I'm going to call. I'm going to be upset professionally because you're harming the business. But personally, I apologize, Ava. Let me come right over because I still love you.
Apologize.
No, he didn't apologize, but he did say, I'm going to come over. And his tone of voice changed.
Hold up 1 second, though.
Wait. It did not change.
You are applying what you did because you love your daughter to what he did because he loved his client.
Yes.
Which is...
As a daughter.
Which is totally
supposedly
different. Which is totally different because your love for your daughter isn't based on your daughter being flirtatious and
giving
mentally,
you money.
Just because he's using the term reverence for his daughter doesn't mean it's his actual daughter, you guys. So you don't have to take that so literally across that spectrum.
And if you listen to the previous testimonies, he has to be father, lover, boss, friend.
Did
there's multiple
that?
Hats. And it was in the previous testimonies that he has to... This is what he's taking. When he spoke at the convention, these were the multiple hats that he was wearing.
But he doesn't have to wear these. No.
But it's his practice or experiment as you all... Okay.
Is that as a professional, mm-hmm. number one, he should just be treating her, and he should be aware of the fact that she's a borderline and that she's going to be flirtatious and she's going to kind of make people all important and then devalue them. And she's going to do that, right? And she's going to have some area in her life that is kind of out of control, like the sexual area of her life. She's going to do all those things. And she's going to be angry. So, you've got to keep in mind that he should know these things.
Let's keep in mind that he's also... Okay.
He should also... And because of that, he should say to himself, I can't wear multiple hats with this person because she's mentally...
Unstable.
You just said it yourself.
But we have to also know that he said if he did not adhere to wearing the multiple hats, to being the father figure or the boss, she would relapse. So is that what you want? This is his new experiment.
No, but that's not... But
so we can't say he's
but
doing
back
things
to the point.
Out of the picture because it's his picture.
You agree.
He's painting
you guys
for the
wait
first
a
time.
Wait a minute. I've been looking while you've been speaking. I've been looking at some of the notes from just from his published results because I just want to clarify. He never published that he has... the only thing he published was that he will have to bring... the client into the famous client into the family fold, and that his decision to bring the client in as daughter, his role therefore as father. So he never actually said his method was to be holding multiple roles such as lover, boss, or anything. He brought those in, and we have evidence of those issues with the studio and making calls to publicists and doing all the other. He's doing more than he said that he was. That this new method was supposed to do. He was really publishing and trying to promote role as father and the client role as child, and in this specific case, daughter. So I just want to clarify mm-hmm. that's...
And that actually would not have been bad for someone like Ava if he had stuck to that.
Yeah.
I feel like you're leaning that Dr. Stowe had motive.
I feel there's a presence of motive. I do. I understand what, I mean, Bill, you and both of you and Bill, you were very eloquent in explaining how, you know, the care aspect doesn't mean that it's definitely trying to be, you know, containing to the point of murder. I can see how you're hesitant, but at the same time, I lean a little bit how, like what Adelaide was saying, like, it does appear that he cares a lot about his reputation and his practice more than he actually cares about Ava, because if he did really care about Ava, there's a lot of lines he wouldn't have crossed,
right,
given her medical history, because he's a medical professional. So if he knows all these things about her, why would he be toying with her and then say we have the recording make her do anything that he wants? It's very manipulative.
And so those are facts. And so that question, and you brought those up, you both agree that he's unprofessional. You both agree that he wrote these things down in his journal, the kind of method and kind of special care he was giving, and that he was unprofessional in that. You both agree to that. So with that, why would you continue? I mean, that would show that you have a motive. Now, no, there's no judgment on good motive or bad motive.
But there is one.
But there is a motive. And it's not for us to say good or bad or murder or not. It's like there is a reason. And there's also... And let me correct myself. Didn't you say earlier that motive is about not only a reason for whatever, but also about opportunity?
It says that... I know. They're cleaning outside the courthouse.
Can I take a bathroom break?
Yeah, they're cleaning outside the courthouse.
Oh, great. A bathroom break would be great.
I'm sorry. But we'll come back and we'll look at motive again and establishing that, because it's just too noisy outside the court to be dealing with this.
Bailiff.
Those gardeners.
Krasinski? Are you...
Okay. Yeah. Can we go now, Bailiff? Oh, great. I'm first in the bathroom.
Oh, go ahead. You may need it more than I do.
I'm going to get some more coffee.
Yeah, we'll reconvene in a second.
Reconvene.
I thought that you were at least more open-minded to her state of mind. I don't understand why all of a sudden you just seem like you're agreeing with Harriet and Adelaide. I mean, we've talked about this. We've talked about this on break. I really feel, honestly, that you're betraying me.
What?
Yes, we've talked closely and intimate. I understand about this doctor, and he has done some things that are inappropriate, but I thought you at least agreed with me.
Well, I agree with you, but I also see other aspects of the case. Like, I mean, it's incredibly important to look at the facts, and the facts do show that there might be, I mean, given this definition of how we're supposed to establish motive, it doesn't mean that we don't need to know actually if he killed her or not.
Yeah,
we just need to
black and white facts.
Establish motive.
I'm asking you to also see the gray area. We talked about this, Rose.
There is gray. Look, I don't want you to be upset, but I also want us
to do
our due diligence with regard to Ava's life and like what we're asked to do. We're not trying to figure out actually if it's black or white. We actually just need to establish that there's dark gray matter.
If I thought that you were going to sway this way and just agree with Hillary and agree, I wouldn't have opened up with you. Harry, I'm sorry. I'm so upset. I just wouldn't. I just felt like you out of everybody, I can.
You can
trust
talk
you.
To me.
I want to talk to you.
You can talk with me, but we can also disagree about how we're going to look at the facts. I mean, a healthy relationship, you're able to sort of voice
would
how you,
you
feel, but then also voice a contrary opinion. I'm a little
you
surprised.
You don't think she was being crazy in that voice? Would you leave me that voicemail?
If I left you that voicemail, would you come over?
I would, because I care about you. Because I care about you.
But if I was threatening, if I had the mental history that Ava did, and if we had that personal history, and you weren't just, I guess, an interested potential partner or anything like our boyfriend, I don't know. I don't use labels. I'm sorry. That's like a lot of it's very serious. But I'm just saying, if that was the case, but then also at the same time, you were my like psychiatrist. I mean, would you come over?
You know what,
it's really hard to project our like selves on it, and I don't want to make you upset. I mean, I
well,
think
I
you're
see,
just
I see you've changed on this point, and you're gonna stick, and that's fine. I'm wasting my break right now. I could be eating some food, so I'm going to go. Wow. So, I mean, you stick to whatever you're going to stick to. And die.
Whatever. I am surprised. You know what? Go take your break. I'm the only one seeing this seriously. Yeah, right. Fine. Oh, my God.
Next time on Deliberations.
There were a couple of men she met from D.C., and I think she had some high hopes where they were concerned.
She was clearly inebriated.
Objection, Your Honor. Defense has grown argumentative.
Today's cast. Jury. Cammie Middleton. Brandon Lamberty. Teru Hara. Tony Love. Chris Markle. And Becky Brown. Courtroom. Dan Lerner. Nora Fisher. Marissa Sullivan. And Joel Settles. On our next jury break, we're talking to Jonathan Young of the hilarious movie podcast, Bombs Away. He's going to be our movie expert because we're breaking down Marilyn Monroe's last unfinished picture, the one she was making at the time she died. Something's gotta give. It's a damn good story. See you then.